I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. Become a part of time.
Hari Om, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual. And the main topics for the show tonight will be crop circles, how they connect to sacred geometry. We'll be also talking about an interesting take on money and how it connects with abundance. And a little bit of talk about the possible false flag contact with extraterrestrials. And if we've got time, we'll share some more information about Egyptian healing rods. And I'd like to take a moment at this point in time to give my thanks and appreciation to our listening audience and for those people who email me during the week. And also let everybody know that if you have questions or you have topics that you'd like discussed on ET Yoga, then you can email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And for those who are interested in some free information on self-empowerment, you can download that at maxwellgreensite.com. That's Maxwell as in Maxwell House Coffee, green as in the color, site.com. And there's also some free download material there concerning those who are in abusive relationships. And as well, I have my ebooks that are for sale there, which pretty much contains all the knowledge that we've shared on ET Yoga over the last year. And also there are some archived ET Yoga shows that also are available at the website for only $19.95, and those include such topics as the XYZ, extraterrestrial meditation, techniques, healing. I think you'll find a quite interesting list of topics. So if you're interested to check out that site, it's at maxwellgreensite.com. And to start off the show this evening, I'd like to share with you information that was channeled through Palladian sources and with respect to sacred geometry and crop circles. And geometric shapes are simply symbols. A higher intelligence or a higher being is the symbol. The symbol is representative of higher intelligence, and when you use the geometric shapes, you symbolically call the higher intelligence, whose sum total of identity is that sacred geometry. For example, each of the ascended masters throughout the course of Earth's history penetrated the frequency control here on Earth. And with great diligence and great commitment, evolved beyond the system and became a master of ascension, moved beyond the lock. And each one created a language form, a sacred geometric shape, that was the sum total of their knowledge. And their essence, for example, the Maltese Cross and Saint Germain is an example of that concept. And when you use these shapes, you are literally receiving the shapes from other forms of intelligence, forms of intelligence that really transform reality. And the sum total of experience of an ascended master is a form, a symbol, that we call the language of light. And it is made up of a geometric shape. And each one of them has their own symbol for transforming realities. These geometric shapes literally share their intelligence, the sum total of who they are as they are anchored onto the planet. So to encapsulate, geometric shapes are the symbolic representation of a collective of intelligence, what could be called the ascended masters, supreme beings, who transformed themselves on your planet and created a language of light geometry based on some total of what they know about the transforming reality. And each geometric form represents a specific form of intelligence. Each geometric shape is the symbol of a certain collection of intelligence. And certain shapes have a more gentle energy. And certain shapes are the beginning shapes. And the tetrahedron is one of the primary shapes of intelligence. It's a symbol of a language of light geometry that has its own intelligence. Crop circles are another version of this sacred geometry. And the crop circles are made by sound as geometric memory teasers. They also allow the geometric shapes to come into your system because those crop circles create a frequency all over your globe. They are a language. You are coded to look at these crop circles and respond to these things. You will find that there are certain angles that will literally have a master code within the angle, based upon the combination of adding certain numbers of the angles together. It's a very complex communication system of intelligence. And it was utilized in India eons ago. It was utilized in many of the ancient civilizations. These angles communicate something. And when you see one of these forms, or you see a photograph of it, it's like firing a code, so that your body literally remembers something. In your reality, what you consider to be master numbers are 11, 22, 33, 45, 55, 66, etc. And they are numbers where the digits are the same. There are combinations of master numbers based on angles of geometry that access codes of intelligence. And these geometric shapes hold combinations that make codes when they are combined in certain ways. And codes are needed to create certain forms of life and to create openings through doorways. The master numbers are needed to find one's way through a black hole and to enter many different dimensions within this particular universe or to even go into other universes. What you are going to have in your homes to stimulate you will be geometric shapes. They will be energy balancers. And as evolving light beings, there will come a time when every one of you will have these geometric shapes in different places around your home to teach you to pull in a blueprint so that it affects your body. You are looking into something beyond logic that your body knows that your conscious human being cannot rationalize. And the basic geometric shapes are implanted into the body. What they do is not, is basically that they assist the body to remember its identity, and that creates a healing. And when the sacred geometry is used in this way, it is like inviting the intelligence into your body. The gentle, easier ones are used first to open you up and connect you. And later on, they are more complex, and they create a changing of the endocrine system in the body so that there are new secretions and new chemical substance that are unheard of at this time and that will create a chemical reaction to evolve humans. And to my way of thinking, this material really connects with a couple of ideas. First, it connects with Drenvalo Melchizedek and the true story of England. And because many people have talked about, you know, where do the crop circles come from? And I agree with his conclusion there that the crop circles basically come from three different sources. They come from higher dimensional levels of consciousness within the earth. They also come from ascended masters, and they are also placed there by certain extraterrestrial groups, primarily the Arcturians. And I think that this is a really an amazing opportunity for all of us to, if we have the opportunity to go and visit an actual crop circle, to feel the energy, because obviously each of these crop circles emits a certain frequency or vibration. And as we just mentioned, that they're a link to higher consciousness and to awakening that consciousness in ourselves. And they actually emit a frequency all over the whole planet. And certainly we're talking about those crop circles that are the valid ones, not the ones that were faked. And for those people who have really will take the time to do any study into this subject, I think you'll find an objective look at it will clearly show that we're not capable of recreating the legitimate crop circles. The radiation that comes from them, the changing of the molecular structure of the plants, the technology that's used to do that has not been invented yet. And bending of the crops without breaking the crop itself, not to mention the amazing meanings and symbology and the sacred geometry that's involved in the legitimate crop circles. And another factor is that some of these have been documented to have appeared and over a certain period of time, like in minutes, where it would be totally impossible for a couple of people with planks to go around and make them. So as far as any sort of real study into the legitimate crop circles, well, I challenge the listener to do some research, and I think you'll come to the conclusion that the rest of it is just a ruse. Now, the other connection to this material comes from Janosch sacred geometry, and that's J-A-N-O-S-H. And well, it was about 2.5 years ago, I came across his website. And there are about 35 different beautifully colored crop circles. What he's basically done is taken the original shapes that were put upon the earth, and then he's connected color to them. And they're just amazing. And when I first saw them, I couldn't put my finger on what was special about them, but I knew that there was something really special about them. And so I downloaded some of these colored crop circles on my computer, and then later on sent them to a friend who had a color printer, and I printed out 8.5 by 11 photos. And I now have about 25 of them as a picture on my wall in my living room. And I can also use the crop circles outside containers of water, because we know from Masaru Emoto's research into the power of water that all things that emit frequency have an instantaneous effect on water. And that also connects with the Patricia Corey material in No More Secrets, No More Lies, where water clearly is one of the key components in developing higher consciousness, because clearly water affects our whole being. And the frequency and the vibration of water is an important aspect in this whole process. And further to finding this information about Janosch and the sacred geometry and his connection with the Arcturians, and there came another sort of evolving thing from the original photographs, and that was animated photographs. And these are absolutely incredible. And I used to spend my lunch hours viewing these animated representations of the crop circles and doing them as meditations. And there were only about a dozen of them, I believe, posted at that time. And the next phase of that, they weren't really available for free. I think you can look under Sacred Geometry now and Janosch Crop Circles, and I think you can find some samples of how that works, because it would be very difficult to explain on the radio. But they're an incredible meditation, and again, have an impact that's really the rational mind can't fathom. And this is, you know, I find this just a fabulous tool. And this, they're not available now because they've been turned into a product. And it's called Gaia Sacred Geometry. And they use a process, I believe it's called HemiSync. It's HemiSync. And this is a product now that I think it costs about $40 or $50, but it was the product of the year in 2007 or 2008 on the product of the year on the internet. And I could see why, because it is an amazing product. And I don't have any connection, you know, don't make a dime by promoting sacred geometry, but I find that it certainly connects with the whole concept of self-empowerment and being involved with the whole idea of sacred geometry is obviously a very productive thing to do. And I guess this also connects to certain stones, for example, crystals. And I know I typically wear a couple of crystal tetrahedrons, and they're not expensive. I think years ago, I don't remember what I paid for them. I think it was about $40 or $50, so they're not, you know, overly expensive. And also in some of Patricia Corey's book, Starseed Dialogue, there's a reference to moldavite, and moldavite I find is clearly another extraterrestrial connection, because moldavite comes from a meteor that hit the planet, I don't know, some 10,000 years ago, so it's not from the Earth, and emits very high frequencies, activating the higher chakras. And it's actually a very rare gem, and I spent about 2 years tracking down a piece of moldavite, and found it almost impossible. I was on waiting lists all over the place for jewelry stores to order, and none ever came, and then it just sort of popped up in my own backyard. But that's another, I think, an amazing connection to the crop circles, and that would be crystal tetrahedrons and moldavite. And now I'm going to move on to talk a little bit about a false flag, or a probable false flag extraterrestrial contact. And the reason I'm mentioning it on ET Yoga is because it's come up in about three or four different places. There is mention from the Pleiadians about a false flag scenario. And I thought that was interesting in itself. And then it also came up with a discussion by Jim Mars. Jim Mars sort of connects this as to that in the past, the sort of fear that was generated in the world was about communism, and then the next big fear that was came about was terrorists, and then the next one he thinks it could be the fear of attack from extraterrestrials. And I noted as well that at Jalila Starr's website with the Nibiruian Council, they made some predictions concerning probable future events, and one of the probable future events that they predicted for 2009, as it turns out, was a 90% chance that there would be a false flag ET scenario. And so that came up three times to my awareness, and then the fourth one came in an article that was channeled through Celia Finn of Archangel Michael. And I'd like to share with you his comment about false flag ET contact. Some of the sightings are hoaxes and manipulations, and some of the lights in the sky that are seen in daylight are laser projections from satellites. You see, dearest one, the idea of an alien presence is being nurtured by certain people who have the intention of using this to further their control of Earth reality. They intend to stage an alien landing of some kind that will lead to world government under their control. The presence will be an illusion created by holographic light shows and man-made alien vehicles. It will probably not succeed, as your ascension and reality shifts will render such a deception impossible, even with the sophisticated control of the media that is now possible. For know that as you enter into this new reality, you will see and perceive absolute truth. Deception will no longer be possible as you take the power to create your own reality, and you will allow no one to manipulate you or control you. The crystal children and blue star children are attuned to the cosmic pulse already. That is why so many of them are diagnosed as ADD. They move to their own rhythms and cannot be controlled into the rigid frame of school programs. Many adults are also releasing the rigid structures of work for more flexible ways of supporting themselves. For each person has an individual rhythm that may not find itself, appealing to the 9-to-5 life. And finding your own rhythm is as important as finding your passion and creativity. These things will work together to ensure that you function at your optimum soul potential as a creator. We will say, too, that it is the presence of the blue star children who have entered the planet in the last 2 or 3 years that is accelerating this process. We have called it activating your galactic light body. As you reconnect with the galactic pulse or heartbeat, as you make this connection, you naturally move into unconditional love, compassion, and gratitude, for these are the energies of the cosmic pulse and the signature of the crystid or crystal energy. And so I just thought I would share that with our listeners, because certainly the false flag scenario, you know, has reared its head from time to time. And I guess I should also, I forgot to mention when we were discussing the crop circles, that there was also a connection with the psychic kids. And one of the psychic kids said that the dolphin crop circle in Alton Barnes, Wiltshire, August 14th, 2002, that there is a particular code in this crop circle that only your superconscious mind will comprehend, and it may reveal your own role and how you can contribute to the world of peace and compassion. And they stressed that it was so important that people all over the world see this crop circle, for it will activate you in ways your mind cannot understand. And I think that that is totally consistent with this information about the symbology of connecting with higher beings and your higher self as well. And next, I'd like to move on to a topic that I know is on most people's minds these days, and that's talking about money and its connection with abundance. And in that regard, I'm going to bow to the wisdom of Bashar and share with you not only his definition of abundance, but some of his observations concerning how we view money and how it relates to the world that we create. And certainly he stresses the point that we should follow our excitement, because one, excitement tells you it is you. And number two, it tells you that because it is you, it will be an effortless creation. And three, it tells you that because it is you and will be an effortless creation, you will be able to attract the abundance you need in whatever form you need it. And understand that abundance is more than just money. Money on your planet is one of the valid ways to represent abundance, but it is not the only tool, and it is not always the shortest and quickest route. Abundance will always express itself along the path of least resistance, just like electricity. And when you broaden your definition of what you think abundance is, then you will allow all the different ways it could come to you to come to you. And I think clearly the opposite of that is also true, and that's that when you have the belief that the only form that abundance can take is money, you close off all those other doors. And here is the definition of abundance according to Bashar. Abundance: the ability to do what you need and want to do when you want to do it, period. You'll notice there isn't any mention about money in the definition. And that is all abundance is. If it comes in a number of different ways, what do you care, as long as you still have the ability to do what you want when you want to do it? Keep in mind that abundance is a general idea, whereas money is a tool. Now, we know that abundance is a big issue on your planet. All right now, you are all abundant. You all deserve abundance, unlimited amounts of what you want, at least as far as we are concerned. So here's just one brief example. Rearrange this idea. Apply it to you if necessary. Because of the way many of you have been functioning, often you see by example that certain individuals on your planet who are physically abundant are in your eyes morally or spiritually bankrupt. This may create a type of impression on you that causes you, without your consciously realizing it, to automatically equate abundance with moral bankruptcy. You say to yourself in internal dialogue, which is perhaps not as loud as you would like it to be, if I become abundant, that means I must also become morally bankrupt, and I don't want the moral bankruptcy, therefore I'll keep myself from being abundant. When you examine your beliefs about abundance, if you find you have that kind of belief, you can say, wait a minute, I realize that more often than not, when I think of a rich person, I think of someone who is, to use your phrase, a scum. You may realize, right then and there, that you have built up out of different belief components one particular belief structure. You're saying with that belief structure, everyone who becomes abundant becomes a scum.
I don't want to have a belief, to have that belief anymore. You can say, that's the definition I had, but I will now disassemble those components. Being abundant does not have to be attached to the idea of being morally bankrupt. So what are the components? What are the ideas I would prefer? No judgment here. You do not judge or invalidate the moral bankruptcy. It may not be what you prefer. It may be a very negative thing. But if you judge it, you change your vibration to the same level. That's what your biblical phrase means when it says, judge not lest ye be judged. It doesn't mean you're going to be judged from outside. It means that as you judge, you become that vibration. You put yourself on that level and can't be where you want to be. The idea is to let that go without judgment. It is one choice you could have made, but you no longer prefer it. Preference is not judgment. Preference is your ability to discern what you are all about, what excites you. Examine the possibilities and say, what components would I rather attach to the idea of abundance? I would rather attach the idea that being abundant would allow me to continue to be a loving individual. Then I will be able to allow other people to be excited by sharing certain ideas with them. I will be able to do this exciting thing and help change the world in positive ways. That's my idea of abundance. So, do you believe you can have what you want? Can you allow it to be that simple? Well, sometimes. All right, fair enough. Always be honest with yourself, because if you do have difficulty believing it, then deal with that. Acknowledge that you have difficulty believing it. Don't deny it, as denial is the first step to forgetting everything about who you are. Don't deny anything about yourself, including the fact that you have denial. Allow yourself to deal with the fact that you may have denial about a certain belief and that you do buy into the idea of doubt and fear and self-invalidation. It's all right to acknowledge that you have those feelings. If you don't acknowledge them and don't deal with them, then you can't change them. You cannot transform what you do not own, first of all. So own it and say, all right, I do sometimes because sometimes I don't think I'm capable. It's all right to think that way. You see, the whole issue is that once you own the right to think that way, you have made it clear that it was your choice to choose the negative reality. And once it's clear that it was your choice, it's back under your control. If you sometimes don't feel capable of doing what excites you the most, acknowledge that you believe that, and then get into a very honest discussion with yourself about why you would choose to believe that way. What type of beliefs would you have? What kind of definitions would you have to buy into in order to feel you couldn't do the thing that is most representative of who you are? And that leads us into struggle or ease. Let's say there's two individuals, one with more money, one with less money. If they are both capable of doing what they need to do when they need to do it, they are equally abundant because that's all that matters to them, and that's the level that they have defined themselves to be. If someone has a more expanded idea of what it is that excites him, then perhaps he needs more symbols of abundance to flow into his life to represent what it is that he is. If he already has sufficient symbols of abundance in his life, then he will be able to accomplish what excites him as smoothly and effortlessly and easily as anyone else. For let me remind you once again that the universe will always support you by supplying you automatically with whatever opportunities represent your ability to continue to be who you are if you are willing to act that way. The universe always supports you 100% in whatever idea you believe yourself most to be. Now, if you believe, well, I have to struggle in order to make a living, and I believe that nothing that does not contain struggle will work for me, then the universe will support you in that idea 100%. It'll say, well, if that's the way you want it, here are the situations that will reinforce the beliefs in your life that you already have, that nothing will work for you easily, and that you have to struggle in order to live. Here are all the situations representative of the beliefs you have. These situations are given to you by the universe automatically to show you exactly what your beliefs are. They are not to prove you are stuck in anything or to prove you have failed in anything, but to show you beyond the shadow of a doubt look, this is the reality you get because that's what you believe to be true. If you don't prefer it, then change the beliefs. When you change the belief to, I do deserve to create a reality of effortless and ease, and I will be supported, then that's the reality you will get. The universe will support you 100% in that direction. It will say just as magnanimously and just as equally, well, if that's what you want, here it is, because now that's what you believe. And as you believe, that's what you experience in physical reality. All you need to do is be willing to recognize that 100% trust in the direction you prefer will create the reality you desire to experience. Do recognize that we are not suggesting that you do something you are not already doing. You are already using 100% of your trust, but you are using 100% of your trust in a direction you don't prefer. So place the 100% trust in the direction you do prefer, and then that's the reality you get. And one of the listeners to that advice said, well, it's very hard for me to believe that I've just go out and quit my job, everything will be okay. And Bashar says, well, all right, it's hard for you to believe, but it's your choice to believe that it's hard for you to believe. You're choosing to believe it's a difficult thing to do, but know that you are never not supported by the universe 100%. It just depends upon what your definition of the 100% is that you are doing. If you have 100% belief that you must do a job you only like, then the universe will be 100% behind you and give you circumstances you will like. And that's all it will give you. If you're willing to know that you will not be doing anything differently in terms of the mechanical approach, but just differently in terms of what you allow the mechanics of the universe to support you in, by changing what you like to what you love, the universe sees no difference in that. If you choose to go from doing what you like to doing what you love, the universe will support you 100% by attracting into your life all the circumstances that will support you in doing what you love, just as strongly as it attracted into your life all the things that supported you in doing what you only liked when you are doing that. When you know there is no reason to distinguish between the two, you will allow yourself to let it be all right to do what you love to do, and the universe will say, if that's what you want, here it is. That's the way the universe works. So if things in your life are mediocre, it is supporting your belief in mediocrity 100%. That is all there is to it. Believe in ecstasy. It will support you with no more effort than it supports you now. And I think that's really, amazing advice. And certainly making it a practical experience would be the goal. And here's another couple of tips when it comes to changing your beliefs. And it's actually a trap that Bashar talks about on some of his tapes, and that is that sometimes when we create a new belief, we're looking for that change in the outer experience. And when the change doesn't come when we think it should, then we sometimes think that we have done something wrong, or we haven't focused enough or on the idea or given it enough emotion or passion. And I think the tip that Bashar gives is that even if the outer reflection remains the same and it looks like nothing's changed, stick with your new passionate, empowered belief. And by having a different reaction to the outer, that really is confirmation that you have changed. But when you give up on your new empowered belief, you're just reinforcing the old beliefs. And it's kind of a trap, because it's somewhat similar to going to a canyon and shouting one and then shouting two, and one being reflective of your old empowered belief. It's an echo that's going to come back first, and it's going to stay there for a while until the second belief, the new empowered belief, or number two echo, reaches you. And certainly there has been lots of talk about, because of the accelerating frequencies that are taking place, that between now and 2012 that the frequencies increase at such a rate that more and more people will be seeing the connection between their beliefs and the outer manifestation. And certainly the idea here is to not give up. And another one of the Bashar comments is that no matter what the situation is, it's not over unless you quit. So I think those are good things to keep in mind. And further to that, Bashar also says, to grant yourselves permission and grant yourselves the right to create life as you desire it to be, for you have the ability to create it that way. And all you need to do is remind yourself that your ability to conceive of an idea in and of itself is an indication of your ability to create that idea. Again, you are multidimensional creators, and as you think, as you feel, as you believe, so you experience the creation of the physical reality around you, always, with no exceptions. Your physical reality is always the product of what each of you believes it can be or fears it will be. For to fear that something will happen in your lives is the same thing as saying you believe that the fearful scenario is the strongest possible reality likely to come into your lives. Your physical reality is always the product of what you believe it can or will be. Situations do not happen in your lives to show you that you are stuck in them. Situations do not happen in your lives to show you that you have failed at creating better ones. Situations come into your life to show you what beliefs you have been taught, what beliefs you have bought into, and if you don't prefer them, to change them. You always have a self-regulating mechanism to allow you to know what beliefs may be buried in your unconscious minds. This self-regulating mechanism that allows you to know precisely how to bring those beliefs to the surface of your conscious minds, so you can change them if you don't like them, and reinforce them if you do, is the experience of physical reality. If you see that you are involved in situations you don't prefer, then simply recognize that the only way it could be in your lives is for you to have the belief allowing it into your lives. Therefore, know that a situation has shown you what the belief is you have been operating on, and at that point, you're free. You have the opportunity to say, aha, now I have the definition of the belief that has created this. It has been buried within me. It has now come to the surface because here it is all around me. Therefore, if I don't prefer it, I can understand what the definition was, and I can change that definition to what I do prefer. Then the 100% trust, the same trust used to create the negative scenario, to now know that once you have changed the definition to a positive definition, reality will reflect that definitional belief just as strongly as it reflected the other definitional belief which you did not prefer. You have your own self-guidance system, your own built-in guidance system. And this is why when we interact with you, what you will always sense from us is that whether you choose to believe in yourselves or not, whether you choose to believe you have the capability of creating the reality you desire or not, we believe in you. We will always reflect to you that you have that capability, for we know you do. We do not believe you have it. We know you have it, beyond any doubt whatsoever. We know all beings in creation have the ability to create the reality they experience. And again, Bashar reminds us, all of you are born on your earth with a total facility for living your lives in absolute joy. But because of the way you have created your society to be, that joy is drummed out of most of you by the time you're 3 years of age. Yes, that young. And you begin to buy into the belief systems that your society says are the belief systems you must buy into in order to survive in this world. And I think that's another important aspect about self-empowerment. And that is, Bashar teaches, once you become aware of a certain belief or fear for that matter, At the point at which you become aware of it, it loses its power. And he gives a technique for reprogramming beliefs, and that is to visualize the negative belief once it's found, and view it somewhat like in a light bulb, and then unplug the light and see the bulb go out. And develop your new empowered belief and place that belief inside a light bulb and plug it in and light it up. And as a further technique to that, you see where that light shines out into the outer world. And if you can follow where that light shines, follow that with your energy and effort and act on that outer circumstance. And there's another, I think, very effective set of steps for reprogramming old beliefs, and you can find that at the College of Christ Consciousness, and that's channeling from Gene Hatch of Mother Mary. And in that material, which is on the website under the College of Christ Consciousness, you can find another step-by-step approach to reprogramming old beliefs. And clearly, as Bashar said, even by 3 years old, you know, we have a set of beliefs that we have acquired from our initial caregivers. And really, during the first 6 or 7 years of life, that's all we're basically doing. We know we're downloading these old beliefs. And I think the proper approach here is to thank our parents or our initial caregivers for all the good things that they've passed on to us. But we've probably also been passed on beliefs that no longer serve us. And I think that's part and parcel of becoming a mature adult, is finding out who you are and what you're about and what your beliefs are. And if you're finding that your outer circumstances don't reflect your preferences, then you can pretty much bet that they're coming as an unconscious belief. And I think actually this whole concept, which to my way of thinking has come from extraterrestrial channeled material that thought creates, and that your outer reality is a perfect reflection of your beliefs, definitions, and emotions. And not just, you know, analogous, but a perfect mirror reality of those beliefs. And this is the most self-empowering information that's ever been communicated, to my way of thinking, in our recent history of man. And that's only come about in the last 25 years or so, maybe 30 years. I don't know exactly when, because as we talked a few shows ago about the Seth material that came out in 71, and then Bashar has come out, and of course the Bringers of the Dawn, and from the Pleiadians, and some of these classic texts that you know, somewhere between the late 60s and now, some of this amazing information that can help us with self-empowerment has come about. And clearly, all the new scientific research has confirmed this as well. And even the concept of remote viewing. Now, for those that are not familiar with remote viewing, it deals with the different vibratory frequencies in the brain, the beta, alpha, theta, and delta states. And it teaches you to actually produce those frequencies, and at which you can access different types of information, or actually do certain astral traveling, in a sense, to different places and times. And I would suggest, if you have an interest in that area, to check out some of the programs that are advertised. There are short training programs that you can purchase on CDs concerning remote viewing.
And I know Bashar actually suggests a book that he says is about 95% accurate from a remote viewer, and it's called Cosmic Voyage. And Cosmic Voyage does deal with a lot of extraterrestrial activity that's taking place or has taken place in our solar system. I'd also now like to move on to the a little bit more information concerning Egyptian healing rods. And, you know, the reason the rods have such a profound impact on disease is that they improve the energy flow in the body. And in Russia, where these rods are made, the medical doctors and the physicists and astropsychologists have conducted numerous scientific tests on them. And they observe that when holding the rods, an electric current moves through the body. And Curlian photography, which shows the energy flow in the body, reveals that 7 minutes holding the rods has the same effect as 30 minutes of acupuncture. And they state that the rods do not heal directly. Instead, they balance the body and strengthen the immune response system so the body can heal itself. And to me, this also connects with Bashar material in that both he and Dr. Schultz, who operates the American Botanical Pharmacy in California, both concur that about 85% of all the body's symptoms of disease disappear after a thorough detoxification, and as well that when the body is given the proper nutrients and eliminates the toxins, and apparently the toxins lodge in the cells in ways that basically paralyze the immune system. And if you think about all the toxins and the chemicals and all the stuff that we put in our bodies, and it accumulates year after year after year after year after year, the body, you know, gets overwhelmed with fighting off toxins and is unable to do the job that it was designed to do. And it's been proven that the body is an amazing, amazing, almost performing miracles in healing. It's a self-healing mechanism that is just unbelievable almost, but based on the beliefs that we're taught in our society. And Bashar says that 99.99% of all disease is actually capable of being cured just by the human body itself. And I think that, and also how belief ties into this, because clearly, you know, belief's everything. In fact, I'm currently connected with a woman right now who is defying all logic. She was given a month to live with advanced hydrocephalia, and I've known her now for, over a year with this condition, and based on her personal beliefs and those beliefs of people around her, she's managed to live a relatively normal existence. And again, showing the power of belief and the amazing capacity of the human body to heal itself. And when the Egyptian dynasties ended, knowledge of the purpose and use of the rods was known only to a few secret mystical societies who kept their existence hidden. And whether you're an experienced meditator or simply want to advance your psychic development, the Egyptian healing rods have a profound effect on inner levels. And these healing rods are actually charged in a 72-foot pyramid in Russia. And all of the components used in manufacturing the cylinders are conditioned inside the pyramids for a 12-day cycle. And I've been mentioning this on a number of shows in ET Yoga, and I think that there's extremely high value in these Egyptian healing rods. I've used them for years now, and in fact, I was just on a recent vacation, and I didn't take my rods with me, and I really noticed after a couple of weeks that without them, that I noticed the difference. My body clearly noticed the difference. And there's been a lot of research done. Valery Yuvarov, a Russian scientist, is actually really promoting now the Egyptian healing rods to the Russian populace. And the reason for that is he's doing research and studies also with the magnetic poles on the Earth. And he equates them to like an hourglass shape, where there's a top and a bottom to the hourglass. And he's basically saying that the bottom part of the hourglass now is expanding, and by the year 2012, it will expand all the way to the top of the globe. And he believes it will create a Stargate there as well. But he's also stating that their research has indicated that people's health will be significantly worse during this period of time because of the changes of the internal clocks in humans. And one of the things that the Egyptian healing rods do is balance your internal clocks, and as well as activate your higher chakras, as well as stimulate the immune system. And one of the things that, you know, I think this is just, you know, really significant, because you think of the healing rods as, you know, for people that have a disease. Well, it's not. It's really also for people who have really are making fast spiritual progress. And when you're drawing light in and you're experiencing different spiritual levels internally, it does change the physical time clock. And I think this is amazing research that's actually coming from a government agency in Russia concerning the amazing positive contributions of these healing rods. And it's like being inside a pyramid, and clearly the research is showing I use them for about 15 minutes a day, and it's like an hour of acupuncture. And I highly, highly recommend you check out Egyptian Healing Rods, and you can do that at www.EgyptianHealingRods.com. And I guess at this point in time, I would like to take the opportunity to wish each and every one of you your success in attaining full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I hope you'll tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
Hi there, this is Christoph Goes. I'm playing on Vivius Radio, where you can check tracks from my new album, Turning Inside. Because if it's not mainstream, it's on VBSRadio.com.